It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, President Trump announced a new round of sanctions on Iran last week in response to what his administration calls aggressive acts. We'll take a closer look at exactly how international sanctions work and whether they're effective. First, what would you say is likely to be the most beloved cut of meat in the world? Would you think filet mignon, tenderloin, maybe porterhouse? Well, according to our guest, it's none of those. Try brisket. It's popular virtually everywhere and can be cooked in a variety of ways, including braised, baked, and grilled. You can prepare it as a centerpiece, but it also works for soups, sandwiches, stews, and as we'll hear, even for breakfast and dessert. In this week's edition of Food Friday, we'll talk about how to buy, season, cook, and serve brisket. Steve Reichlin is the author of more than 30 books, including The Brisket Chronicles, How to Barbecue, Braise, Smoke, and Cure the World's Most Epic Cut of Meat. He's also the host of several public television shows and is a member of the Barbecue Hall of Fame. Steven, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
So what inspired you to write a whole large, hefty book about brisket?
You know, a brisket is key to so much human culinary happiness. If you are a barbecue enthusiast, Texas-style barbecue brisket is the ultimate challenge and the ultimate triumph in barbecue. If you love delicatessen, pastrami starts with brisket. If you are a fan of Irish pubs, corned beef starts with brisket. If you love Vietnamese beef noodle soup, guess what makes that broth so rich? Brisket. It is an iconic meat. It is beloved around the world. And it just seemed worthy of an entire book.
So every cut of meat is different. What exactly is special about brisket? What makes it unique?
Well, first of all, we need to think about the anatomy. The brisket corresponds to the pectoralis on a human being. It's the muscle that holds a steer up and enables it to walk. Enables it to get up if it's lying down. So it's an extremely well-exercised muscle. Comes from the chest of the steer. And there are actually two muscles that comprise a brisket. The first, we know it colloquially, is the flat. It's the deeper of the two muscles, very lean. And what you're likely to find at a local supermarket. The point is the fattier part of the brisket. It's actually located lower down, closer to the ground on a steer. Although when you buy a whole packer brisket, which is how it comes from the packing house, the point is the fatty part you see up top. Now, one thing that makes a brisket so interesting and challenging to cook is that the muscle fibers of these two muscles run roughly perpendicular to one another. So carving the brisket requires a very special technique. Cooking a brisket generally takes a long time at a low temperature. The classic formula for barbecue is low and slow in the presence of a lot of wood smoke. However, as I discovered in my travels around Planet Barbecue, there's one country that has invented a method for cooking brisket in less than a minute.
What's that?
Well, I call it the great brisket barbette dish. And what you do is you go into a bar that is frequented by people who are barbecue buffs, and you proudly proclaim, "I bet I can cook a brisket in less than 1 minute." Everybody's going to look like you're mad because, you know, you're normally looking at 12 to 14 hours to cook brisket. Well, once you have secured your bet, you do as Koreans do. And what they do is they freeze the brisket rock solid and then slice it paper thin on a meat slicer. And those paper thin slices are then cooked on a hibachi, and it takes roughly 29 seconds on one side, 29 seconds on the other side. So you have truly cooked a brisket in less than a minute.
Wow. So you're basically making a carpaccio, a frozen carpaccio, and then tossing it on the cooking surface.
Very eloquently said.
Why, thank you.
But, you know, there's a real gastronomic payoff to this because normally, the way we cook brisket in the West, you know, be it if it's barbecued, it will be salted, peppered, and heavily smoked. If it's deli style, it would be cured and then possibly smoked, steamed. If it's braised the way they do in Europe, it will be braised in wine or beer. So it'll have a lot of other flavors aside from just brisket. But the beauty of the Korean preparation is you actually get to sample this meat completely unadorned. You're tasting it as though you were tasting steak, but it's brisket. It's amazing.
We're talking with Stephen Reichlin right now. He's the author of more than 30 books, including The Brisket Chronicles, How to Barbecue, Braise, Smoke, and Cure the World's Most Epic Cut of Meat, that epic cut of meat being brisket. Now, I want to go back to something you said, Stephen, because when it comes from the packing house, this is a massive piece of meat. What is the average size of one of those full briskets?
You know, I'm so glad you asked. So typically a packer brisket, you know, the lighter end will be about 12 pounds. The heavier end, it will be 18 pounds. I actually recently cooked a 33-pound Wagyu brisket, A5 Wagyu brisket from Japan. But we're talking about the single largest cut of meat that most of us will ever bring home. Right. So that is another reason why it is epic, why I call it an epic meat.
Well, and I think that also means that it's usually a pretty substantial financial investment, too. And I think that makes people nervous if they've got this big piece of meat that they just dropped a pretty penny on. They want to make sure they cook it right. So let's talk about some of the ways that you like to cook brisket. What is your favorite if you're going for the one that just kind of makes your heart sing?
Well, that would be barbecuing a brisket.
I'm shocked to hear you say that.
Right. So smoking it low and slow in the style of the Texas Hill Oak Country. So we're going to make what I call a Dalmatian rub, and that's roughly equal parts salt and pepper. Get sprinkled on the outside. There's an elaborate trimming ritual, which I explain in Brisket Chronicles step by step with photos. But you trim a brisket. A brisket is roughly 30% fat. When it comes from the packing house. So you trim it because you don't, there's no sense spending 14 hours smoking something you're not going to be able to use afterwards. And then you set up your smoker. I my target temperature for smoker is about 250 degrees. Most home-style smokers will be charcoal-fueled, adding wood chips or chunks for the smoke flavor, unless you have a stick burner, you know, one of those offset barrel smokers. And in that case, you might actually be burning wood. In Texas, the preferred wood is oak. You know, in Kansas City, it's hickory. I'll let you in on a little secret. Pretty much any wood will deliver a delicious smoked brisket.
And you talked about having a smoker. I mean, not everyone has a dedicated smoker, but in reading your book, it sounds like you can also take advantage of, say, like a Weber kettle grill could actually be something you could use.
A Weber kettle grill makes a great smoker.
And what do you have to do to kind of, you know, jigger it to be able to do that?
So first of all, you need to set it up for indirect grilling. And what indirect grilling means is that the coals are raked out into two mounds on each side of the grill. Your brisket goes over a drip pan in the center. So we're always, with the exception of Korea, cooking or smoking brisket using the indirect method. Now, the second thing you need to do if you're using a Weber kettle grill is you use only half as much charcoal as you normally would because you're really trying to work at a lower temperature. And the Weber, if you use the full, you know, if you use a full chimney of charcoal on a Weber charcoal grill, you know, it's going to want to kind of heat up around 350, 400 degrees, which is too hot for your brisket.
And we're talking about hours and hours of cooking. So how closely do you monitor it? How much do you need to do to keep it going?
Well, that is also a good question. So, typically when I make a brisket to serve for dinner, I'm up at 5 in the morning. I'm up early at 5 in the morning. Anyway, I'm an early riser. The brisket goes on my smoker by 5:30, 6 o'clock. It typically smokes 12 hours. I check it every hour. I mean, this is not not a set it and forget it situation. However, if you have a ceramic cooker like a Big Green Egg, those have what are called airflow controllers that will you can dial in the temperature and really let the brisket go pretty much on automatic pilot. But, you know, I figure if you're spending $100+ on a piece of meat, you want to be there to watch it.
We're talking with Public Television Grillmaster Stephen Reichlin about his newest book, The Brisket Chronicles, How to Barbecue, Braise, Smoke, and Cure the World's Most Epic Cut of Meat. It includes recipes for bacon smoked brisket flat, the ultimate breakfast hash, and real deal Holyfield brisket breakfast tacos with gangsta salsa, all of which you can find at WPR.org/Food Friday and which we'll be talking about after a short break. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Are you a brisket fan? How do you like to prepare it? Anything in particular you like to serve alongside it? And what questions do you have about brisketing? That's 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're continuing our conversation about brisket with Stephen Reichlin. He's the host of several public television cooking shows and a member of the Barbecue Hall of Fame. His newest book is The Brisket Chronicles, How to Barbecue, Braise, Smoke, and Cure the World's Most Epic Cut of Meat. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your secret to making the perfect brisket? What questions do you have about how to prepare it, cook it, or serve it? Tell us about the greatest brisket you've ever had. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And Stephen, we've posted three recipes from your book, The Brisket Chronicles, at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's talk first about bacon smoked brisket flat. As my husband would say, you had me at bacon, and he's saying that about me, not him. Walk us through what makes that a special recipe.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the cut of brisket you're most likely to find at the supermarket is the brisket flat. This is the lean piece of brisket. But the problem is when you're trying to smoke a lean piece of meat for a long time, it tends to dry out. So I came up with a double hack for cooking brisket flat. And the first is that you smoke it in a foil pan. So you shield the bottom from the drying, defecating force of the heat. And the second piece is that you drape the brisket with bacon on top. So as the brisket flat cooks, the bacon fat melts. It melts into the meat. It bastes the meat. It gathers at the bottom, which helps baste the bottom of the meat. It gives you an excellent bacon flavor. You actually replace the bacon strips halfway through, so you get a little reward for your patience. You know, the most important ingredient for cooking any brisket is patience. And that's something that is sort of in short supply in modern society, but it's a good way to slow down. At any rate, that bacon smoked brisket flat, you know, it's everything that can go wrong with a lean, too lean cut of brisket is eliminated by following this procedure.
Now, I remember reading, I think the term is the bark, where it gets kind of the seasoned crust kind of on top. Does the bacon interfere with that at all?
Well, it doesn't. The bacon actually gives you a crust of its own. It's a bacon crust. It's a bacon bark rather than just a straight brisket bark. But I have served this to hundreds of times, and I have never had anybody complain about the lack of bark.
I can't imagine anyone would complain about the bacony goodness.
Let's
go to the phones at 800-642-1234, and Marcus in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Stephen. First, I'd just like to say thank you because you've made me a much better griller. Second, the drink where you invert the glass and put the smoke into the glass is an absolute hit with my friends and family. And third, my third comment is I found that by sprinkling old spices onto the coals, that you can also create some interesting smoked flavors and also use up spices that may have gotten pushed to the back of the cabinet using Italian seasoning or whatever else, just depending on what type of meat it is. It was an accident. My son was teaching him to barbecue, and he missed the burgers and hit the coals with a whole bunch of seasoning, and it actually gave the burgers quite an interesting flavor.
Wow, that is a fascinating technique, Marcus, whether it was a mistake or not the first time. And Stephen, is that something you've ever done?
Yeah, I actually have a name for that. I call it fire spice. And I hadn't thought about it in the context of spices that are too old to use, because at my house, spices get used up pretty quickly. But it's an excellent idea. And, you know, so many dishes, so many great barbecue dishes have resulted from happy accidents like that. I do a barbecue sauce that is flavored with vanilla. It's really great on baby back ribs and spare ribs. And that resulted actually by a bottle of vanilla that had a poorly secured lid falling into a pot of barbecue sauce that I was working on. And, you know, tasted it and uttered one of the great grunts of gastronomic satisfaction, you know, just by accident.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, thanks for that call. Stephen, I want to ask, once we've gone through this process, this multi-hour process of cooking the brisket, I think you say, you know, the temptation is, oh, I've been working on this for so long, I want to eat it right now. But we really need to let it rest, not just, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes like we might think of other meat, but for quite a while.
Well, we do. There's actually a three-step process. So we've described setting up your grill and smoking, which you do for about two-thirds of the way through the brisket. Then there's a step called the wrap, where you take the brisket out and you actually wrap it in butcher paper. It must be unlined butcher paper. And you put it back in the smoker. And what the wrap does is it helps seal in moistness, but because you're working with paper instead of aluminum foil, it releases steam. And the wrapping is very important for concentrating flavor, for keeping the brisket moist. Then the third step, the one to which you allude, perhaps the most painful, as your brisket comes out, it's black as coal. You know, it feels that the crust is gritty and salty. The meat smells totally incredible. And all you want to do is dive in. But if you take your brisket and put it in an insulated cooler for 1 to 2 hours, let it rest, the juices will redistribute, the meat will relax, and your brisket will come out about 1,000 times better.
And this is making me think that you're getting up at 5 a.m. is probably the latest you can start something like this, because if we're cooking for 12 hours, we're letting it sit for a couple, that's a long time.
Well, it is, but one other advantage of the resting in the insulated cooler is it does give you a bit of control about when to serve it, you know, because I give approximate times, but there can really be a several-hour range. However, if you know your brisket is in your insulated cooler at 6 p.m., you can choose to serve it at 7. You can choose to serve it at 8. You know, you've got a lot more flexibility. And by the way, this time is for a Packer brisket. If you're doing that bacon wrap, bacon smoked brisket flat, you're looking at more like 6 hours. So that's manageable. Another kind of hack for this, if you want to serve your brisket for lunch, if you've got a one of these airflow controllers, you hook it up to your Big Green Egg or even your Weber Smoky Mountain smoker, you can do an overnight smoke where you continue to dial in the temperature, and thanks to the airflow controller, it keeps a pretty consistent temperature.
Let's go back to the phones, and Cooper is on the phone from Plover. Hi, Cooper.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to ask about?
Good. Well, Steve, I'm pretty excited to learn a little bit more about these recipes. The book sounds very cool. I'm curious about some braising methods. Are there any good unique braises that you know of? I know there's wine and things like that, but is there anything you could do with like milk or cream to have sort of like a milk steak type situation?
Well, what an interesting question.
Yeah.
First of all, Cooper, I am glad you asked about braising, because I don't want to give the impression that Brisket Chronicles is only about barbecue. That is one of 10 chapters. Admittedly, it's the largest of the 10 chapters. But braising is often done. Now, I have braised veal in milk and cream. I will be honest, I've never tried braising brisket in milk or cream. However, in the braising chapter, you'll find brisket braised in beer with caramelized onions, a recipe popular in both Germany and Belgium. You will find brisket braised in a mixture of soy sauce, rice wine, star anise, and sugar in the style of red cooking, as is done in China. So you could kind of think of it as a Chinese version of a braised brisket. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thanks for that call, Cooper. And we do have your recipe up for Ultimate Breakfast Hash. That's at WPR.org/Food Friday. Also, Real Deal Holyfield Brisket Breakfast Tacos. Tell us about the salsa that goes with it. What are the flavors that really bring out the brisket flavor?
Well, this is fun. And, I'm a great advocate of barbecue for breakfast. I mentioned I'm an early riser, and I often love to fire up my grill first thing in the morning and do some sort of breakfast on the grill. So this is a recipe that comes from a restaurant called Valentina's in Austin, Texas. And it's a breakfast taco. Basically contains refried beans, sliced barbecue brisket, there's a fried egg, melted cheese. And the salsa is really interesting. You take the traditional salsa ingredients, right? Your poblano chilies, your jalapenos, your serranos, your onion, your tomato, your tomatillos, and you smoke all of those ingredients in your smoker.
Yeah.
And you smoke them long enough to give them a patina of smoke, but quickly enough to kind of leave them a little raw in the center. And then you make a salsa with that mixture. And it's smoky, it's spicy, it's sweet. You know, it's if the brisket tacos weren't enough to wake you up, that salsa certainly will.
And it's not too much with the smokiness from the brisket and of the vegetables?
Well, you're talking to a guy for whom too much smoke is... I'm not sure that's ever happened.
That doesn't compute for you.
It doesn't happen often.
Well, no. Stephen, thanks so much for giving us the inspiration to go out and try cooking brisket. I have to admit, I have never done it, but I am feeling inspired and empowered to do so.
Well, thank you. You asked wonderful questions. And if anybody wants any more information on my end, my website is barbecuebible.com.
Great. Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Reichlin is the author of more than 30 books, including The Brisket Chronicles, How to Barbecue, Braise, Smoke, and Cure the World's Most Epic Cut of Meat. He's also the host of several public television shows and is a member of the Barbecue Hall of Fame. We've got three of his recipes for brisket up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Try them out and let us know how you did over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.